Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we are super happy to have you here, and we just ask that you bring an open mind and heart to your listening experience and to be prepared to explore vantage points that I'm convinced will help shift or solidify your current understanding of the ultimate nature of reality. While listening, you'll be exposed to inspiring, empowering, and unifying perspectives that I'm highly confident will yield stellar results in your life if you opt to try them on for size. Also, at optimistic.tv, we have officially begun releasing the first few episodes of our new late-night style, consciousness-elevating video variety talk show, Optimistic, which features live visionary art, soul share interviews, retreat guests here at the Mystic Manor, as well as live musical performances. I'm also super excited to announce that we are currently making plans to release the rest of season one on my personal favorite online streaming service. So stay tuned to optimistic.tv to follow the unfolding development of this exciting Optimistic expansion, as we'll be posting more info and release dates there soon. And in the meantime, be sure to check out, of course, the first few episodes at optimistic.tv as well. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's Soul Share episode, I'm very excited to have Lisa Tahir with me on the show. Lisa is a clinical social worker who practices as an intuitive psychotherapist. She also hosts the All Things Therapy podcast and is about to release her first book called The Chiron Effect. Hello, Lisa. Welcome to the show, my friend.
Brandon, thank you for having me on the Positive Head podcast. I am so excited to be here with you and your listeners.
Oh, well, I'm excited to have you. I get a lot of people wanting to come on the show, of course, and a lot of people that I would want to have on the show. And it's, you know, it doesn't always align, but sometimes something jumps out at you and it's like the path and sort of the content of your book is, I find, really, really interesting. And so I'm excited to explore what the Chiron Effect is. Before we jump into all of that, I would like to start with the same predictable opening question I always ask, and it is this. You're in an elevator. The woman next to you looks over, says, "What's your passion?" You have 10 floors to answer. What do you say?
I love your question, Brandon. And what I would share and offer would be, I really love helping people create a genesis, meaning a genesis is a beginning, and to help that person in the elevator, whomever they are, align truly with what they want to live in their lives and help them use non-physical energy to align their thoughts with their beliefs and their actions to really see that outcome manifest in their lives and that genesis, that birth of what they really want to experience, helping them take those baby steps in the creation of it. So that's what I am really most passionate about and would love to help and reach that person in the elevator with, that co-creation.
Excellent. 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 Well, you may have to hit the stop button for that process to be fully realized, but you know, I love the passion and it feels really, really great to help people align, doesn't it? And you know, one of the things that I always like to do at the top of the show is to get an idea as to how someone ended up on that path, you know, as much as is relevant to share regarding your backstory, we would love to hear.
Of course, Brandon. And as you're asking me that question, for me, when I was 5 years old, I scribbled down a note saying I want to be a psychiatrist. And now that I'm older and a therapist, I'm like, okay, that's kind of odd. What 5-year-old wants to be a psychiatrist? So it's kind of diagnostic that there were things going on in my family of origin very young that I had curiosity into the psychological, and I learned later in life, the spiritual and that intersection of helping people heal, starting with myself. And I did find social work quite naturally. It was kind of like just, I'm going to be a therapist. And it was in part initiated by wanting to heal my own wounds of growing up in a family where there was trauma and abuse, and knowing that, you know, I really want to help people through this. I kind of had to figure it out on my own. And at 21, entered therapy, and my therapist was just really amazing in helping me change my patterns, really know that I'm worthy of being loved. And so that really sparked within me a desire to help others on their path find their healing. Mm. And it's just kind of grown from there, Brandon, to where I am Beautiful. Today doing this work and writing my book.
Well, let's talk about your book. And I think it's such a unique approach to, astrology and psychotherapy. You actually use the term psychoastrology, right?
Mm-hmm. That is correct. Psychoastrology, where our personal psychology meets and connects with our natal astrology, specifically the placement of Chiron, which is a minor planet and comet as designated by astronomy in our mm-hmm. birth chart. And we're going to talk about yours and at some point as well.
To help listeners
have a sense of what this is really about.
Yeah. Well, I'm always down to be a guinea pig, you know?
Yeah.
It won't be the first time on the show, and it won't be it hasn't been the first time. It'll happen again. I'm sure. So let's talk about the Chiron effect and if you could share, more details about Chiron and the book specifically and how they come together.
Well, and this book for me was birthed out of my own personal kind of frustration with the lengthy assessment process often found in therapy. When you go to a therapist, sometimes it's like you come in because something really compelled you to make the call, schedule the appointment, and then you get there and it's kind of all these assessment questions that aren't really hitting the point of why you're there. And certainly all of that information is important for the person you're working with to know. But I've always approached therapy, tell me what's most important to you right now, what got you mm-hmm. to make that call, so we can kind of jump right in for the client to feel some immediate relief. And so myself being a therapist and being a client of psychotherapy, I got really curious about what's beyond just talking about rehashing even the wounds, the pain points of our lives, like what's beyond this? Because if we dwell too long in those spaces, I found that I started to feel more disempowered than empowered. And so I was very curious, like, universe, what is beyond this that I can contribute? And in meditation, I was simply given the word Chiron, Chiron. And my only familiarity with Chiron was as far as Carl Jung's archetype of the wounded healer. And so mm-hmm. that was kind of popped up. So I started Googling and learned that Chiron is also an astrological placement. And as a therapist, not an astrologer, I was like, I wonder if there's something there. And the more I started to learn and read, it turned into 4 years of research and writing and combining really sound psychology with spiritual principles and taking personal responsibility. And I learned that we each have kind of one main area of vulnerability that I call core wounding. And it's one area that we tend to struggle with as far as patterns, as far as our thought patterns, our belief patterns, our behavioral patterns. And once we have consciousness of this, we can totally address and focus our healing efforts in this area to really empower ourselves to lead the kind of lives we've always wanted. And I also found, Brandon, that forgiving ourselves and being empathetic was a key concept to really bridging the gap between where we are and where we want to go. So I wonder what you're thinking about this as I'm sharing it. That's how this all evolved and became.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I fully agree. Listeners, I bet you some regular listeners know exactly what I'm about to say next. My favorite book of all time is The Little Soul in the Sun by Neil Donald Walsh, who wrote Conversations with God, which is also up there as fave. And this is a children's book, and it basically shares the story of humanity, mankind, and essentially the core you know, premise for many, if not all, of our journeys is to learn forgiveness, and that it's, and it actually goes, and it actually goes to the root of, you know, kind of our origin story as it pertains to forgiveness. So, yeah, I fully agree with that.
So, Brandon, I really like what you're sharing. And I like what you're sharing and Neil Donald Walsh's work about forgiveness. And so when I started to research Chiron and discover these 12 core wounds based on where Chiron falls in your astrological chart under a sign, and for instance, your Chiron is in the sign of Aries, and some people's Chiron might be in the sign of Taurus or Gemini, Cancer, Virgo, Leo, all around the astrological wheel, so to speak. And I realized that this correlates to a specific core wounding. And then the astrological house that Chiron is found in speaks to the area of our lives where these vulnerabilities manifest. It's the area of our lives that we tend to want to edit or even hide for from others. We might feel some shame about those areas. And so it's really helpful to actually become familiar with where this placement manifests, because it's an invitation to explore these blind spots, these challenges, and therefore, you know, it's a big growth opportunity for, for you to, you know, not feel so afraid of these areas of your life. So I started to get really excited about offering this work. And yeah, that's kind of the basis and foundation.
Yeah. Well,
so
maybe, you could
really live healthier lives.
Yeah. Maybe you can share what those 12 core wounds are and then, you know, happy to, dive into your analysis of, my,
Yeah. Sure. And you can tell me how well it fits for you or not. Cause it's interesting what you're doing as a podcaster to heal your Chiron placement intuitively and naturally. And I found in my work, Brandon, that most people that are in the healing arts that are that are podcasters, that are speakers and teachers, they have naturally started to heal their wounds of Chiron through their work and what they're doing. And that's true in your placement. So we'll come back to that. But for listeners to know, if Chiron is found in Aries, and there's an interactive chart on a part of my website when a person gets the book that they have access to, Chiron in Aries has to do with a core wounding in your value and worth, where you might source your self-esteem from performance-based activities by looking outside of yourself. You might tend to people-please. You're super intuitive to ascertain the needs of others, and you might put yourself second or third, and then suddenly feel kind of some resentment because you realize you haven't been kind of honest with yourself about that.
Gotcha.
So that's just a little preview of your core wounding, Chiron in Aries. If your core wounding is in, if your Chiron is in Taurus, that's a core wounding by neglect. And sometimes these individuals have actually experienced sexual abuse or coercion, some type of you know, deep neglect and woundedness in that area of their lives as children, where they might start to source their self-esteem through relationships and through their sexuality and feeling, you know, like that might be what they offer and have to offer most, and that others might value most. And so it's really healing that part of themselves at the most deepest level, healing that neglect and learning to give themselves what they didn't receive and attract. Acting others, you know, really having stable others that love them for who they are and who they're not, just as they are. And then moving to Chiron in Gemini. Yeah, this is a core wounding and empathetic attunement. And when we're growing up, being empathetically attuned to by our caretakers is so important so that we learn really how to communicate our needs. And so this person wasn't attuned to in that way. So they might not be able to authentically express themselves, have some confusion. They might have experienced bullying in school or even been a bully. So that's what this placement speaks to. And this is in general. I mean, there's whole chapters about this. And then I offer takeaway steps to start shifting your patterns and affirmations that I've meditated over and infused Reiki healing energy into. So I'm just doing a quick overview today.
Yeah, the book will go deep.
Yeah. Chiron and Cancer, core wounding by abandonment that you might have experienced. Chiron and Leo has to do with a core wounding and creativity. You might feel kind of cut off from your ability to create for yourself, though you could be really good at helping others put things out into the world. Then Chiron and Virgo has to do, with a core wounding and managing your physical health and associated routines. So you might neglect your health to the extent of having health problems and issues. And so the takeaway steps are really about teaching yourself to schedule your yearly doctor's appointments, your wellness checkups, and really take care of yourself in the physical sense and scheduling that in to your life.
Mm.
Chiron in Libra has to do with a core wounding and personal independence, where in relationships, both friendships and romantic partnerships, you might let the other person kind of drive the bus. And you might be kind of like a chameleon, having a not solid sense of your own identity, which you really want. But there's some fear around, if I articulate who I am and what I want, are people going to leave me? So the book helps you develop those skills to really share what your deepest desires are and have them met by others.
Hmm.
Then Chiron in Scorpio has to do with a core wounding and the experience and expression of power. And this might have been that somebody kind of dominated you, was, you know, just really like ran over, stomped over you. You might have done that to others, or it could be expressed as far as how you view the world. You know, that like your worldview and philosophy you might have a hard time connecting to one that makes sense to you. That, you know, it might feel like there's not a lot of fairness in the world and you really want that. So it's looking at power and all of its aspects and how you interact in your relationship with power, personal, collectively, in business, and in relationships. Then Chiron in Sagittarius has to do with a core wounding and truth and illusion that sometimes you might not be sure. Like when you were growing up, this placement experience, people not kind of walking their talk. So there is some confusion around authenticity and believing that you can trust in the world to be predictable and safe. So there's some work to do in aligning with being your authentic self, speaking your truth, and being able to discern what is true and what is not in your world. Chiron in Capricorn has to do with a core wounding and responsibility, achievement, and success. And so this has to do with really in the realm of how you're perceived by others, your reputation, and making sure that you're, again, in alignment with the work that you do. Are you accurately being credited? Is somebody kind of stealing your glory and taking credit for it? Do you need to stand up for yourself there and own what you've done? Or maybe are you not really crediting someone else that's helped you? And so it's bringing that area of your life into alignment, the areas of achievement, success, and personal responsibility. Second to last is Chiron in Aquarius, is a core wounding in your sense of connection and community. And so this can be really challenging and painful because you really want a community, friends, associates, humanitarian causes, and you feel disconnected from that. So the healing is found through identifying causes important to you and really plugging yourself in to them. Like becoming friends with people that share passions of yours. So you're really about community and connection and making that an important part of your life instead of feeling disconnected from it. And then lastly is Chiron in Pisces, which has to do with a core wounding in your own personal self-care and in the immaterial world. And to give an example, Mother Teresa had Chiron in Pisces. And we all know how powerfully she helped others. And so she's the example of a fully healed Chiron in Pisces, where you put on your oxygen mask first, as they say, when you get on an airplane, before you assist others. And from that place of caring for yourself, you're really able to serve and create in the way you want to. And it's through connection with something spiritual, something larger than you that really brings meaning and value to your life. So finding your purpose and living from it. Is that helpful to share all
those
placements?
Yeah, very cool. And for you guys who want to, I normally throw out the site at the end, but just to throw it out since, you know, where all this is located and you can go deeper. If you go to, it's NOLA, N-O-L-A, therapy.com. And then you'll see it / Chiron would be the actual page where those are broken down. And then you can go deeper, right?
Sure. And if people just go to NOLATherapy.com, there's a button that says book and they can access it all there to make it simple.
Ah, got it. Cool. Very, very cool. Yeah. So
can we talk some about your Chiron?
Let's do it. Let's talk about I had to giggle at my first, you know, value and worth for Aries, right?
Yeah, value and worth. So I'm going to ask you honestly to share, you know, how much of this resonates, if any doesn't.
Of course.
So just an overview that wounded Chiron in Aries feels like they don't have a right to exist in the most extreme, that they're fundamentally like there's something wrong with them. And this person might be overly self-sufficient, like feeling like they really have to do it all on their own. Conversely, when you're healing that Chiron's core wound, you feel really lovable. You know that you're worthy and you have a right to exist. And so this placement, like I mentioned earlier, you're really attuned to others and their needs. And sometimes it might have felt hard for you to even know what you might have wanted. Like you might lose a connection to yourself, like your selfhood has been eclipsed even, and you're not being seen or heard or validated in the ways that you deeply desire.
Right.
Has that ever been an issue?
Yeah, to speak to all of that, I definitely am very attuned to the needs of others. My girlfriend always says that I'm the, and of course she's biased, but that I'm the most generous person she's ever known. And so I'm always very concerned about the needs of others. I've always felt I also can relate to sort of going at it alone. I've always been a little bit of an island in some ways with like, I'm going to just do it my way. I don't really need anyone else. I can just, you know, I'll figure it out on my own. And there's a lot of value that comes from having a team. And that's been a big part of my journey, even, you know, entrepreneurially going from, you know, starting a company with me, you know, wearing every hat imaginable to 100 employees, you know, ultimately.
And so
I think part of my healing journey was learning how to delegate. And even now still, sometimes I'll like, you know, want to do everything. And I definitely relate to just the core idea of value and worth. Like, I feel like I need to really make a big impact to, you know, it's just like such a core part of who I am. I'm like so driven in that way. Although I think I've done a lot of healing around it, I don't feel, certainly if I look at myself now versus even 10, 15 years ago, you know, the validation isn't as necessary as maybe at one time was. You know, if I look back, it's like I really wanted to be validated.
Because you're self-validating.
Yeah, right.
I'm imagining that you're self-validating a hell of a lot more than you knew to in the past.
Absolutely accurate. Yeah, I definitely feel the self-worth.
Yeah, you're really on your path, Brandon. Because the key to healing is the self-affirmation. And even when you're triggered, and I have Chiron in Aries as well, though it manifests in a different house placement than yours.
Gotcha.
That it's really about affirming even the younger ego states. Like if you're triggered and a memory comes up when you're younger and you were not attuned to, you weren't validated, it's really about speaking lovingly to that younger part of yourself as he presents himself and telling him, like, I got you. I'm sorry. That's where the empathy and self-forgiveness comes in. Like, I'm sorry that happened to you, to really hold that part of yourself as if it's, you know, a younger person that was you, and tell him everything he needed to hear.
I love that approach, because when you really understand, you know, from the most expanded perspective, the ultimate nature of reality, that younger you exists as much now as it ever did. It's all happening in the eternal now. And so that's a part, not only that you, from one, you know, perspective you carry with you, it's there, you know, that inner child is inside. And from another, it literally is happening in another now. And so, you know, speaking to that part of yourself that is still seeking validation or, just needs your love, right? I think it's a super, super powerful exercise.
It is. And for you, some of the affirmations that if you're not already saying them to yourself, which I sense you are in your own words, is that my value lies within.
Yep.
I'm enough.
Yep.
I am worthy. I own my right to exist. And I know you're already living into that.
Yeah.
In your life. Can we talk about the house placement, how this manifests?
Because
I'm curious.
I'm very curious to hear.
Because it's different than me. So I'm curious. Yeah. Okay. So your Chiron in Aries is in the sixth house. And the sixth house has to do with your professional work, your daily routines, your physical health, and being of service. And so this has to do specifically with like fitness, diet, exercise, really making sure you're taking care of your health and not neglecting it. Does that resonate at all, Brandon?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can tend to, you know, I've always said since I was a little kid, I don't believe in getting sick and use that as sort of a mantra, right? Which has worked and served me really, really well. Like I give no energy to being sick and I've, you know, not that I never have, but so limited compared to the average person, you know, no aches and pains, no, never been in a hospital, et cetera, et cetera. And so that, however, makes it really easy to, you know, being such a sort of a, you know, I'm a generator in human design. I'm not sure if you're familiar with human design or not.
Yeah. But, I'm a manifesting generator. Yes, absolutely. I love human design.
Yeah, that's very interesting too, right? And so I definitely a generator, definitely, you know, a lot of energy that I put off and a lot of, you know, kind of go, go, go sort of energy. And so that combined with also being, you know, health being sort of a non-issue can lead to, and, you know, okay, Brandon, you got to stop for a moment. Take time to meditate. Take time to do a little workout. Take time to get some sun. Take time to do these, you know, to not just eat something, even eating like I'll eat really fast. And it's like, no, slow down. Enjoy the food. Take the time to make sure it's healthy. Take, you know, and so it definitely is something that I can very easily neglect. Based off of, you know, this sort of the circumstances of, you know, it's like my dad is 74. And, you know, he's I've never really seen him sick. He eats like, you know, fried foods constantly. He doesn't pay any attention.
Yeah.
So I think part of that has, you know, has not that I eat much better than him. And I've definitely done the work on this sixth house, I suppose, because there's still more to go. But, you know, meditation is a great example. It's like it's maybe a little more challenging or has been a little more challenging. I don't want to project it into the future. Has been more challenging in the past because I'm so like amped and ready to move and do something in the world. And that takes, you know, that's like going within. And, you know, that to me is, comes a little less natural, because of how I'm sort of wired and it can lead to, definitely neglect. And so even in the last few, maybe last month or so, for the first time in my life, Lisa, I have started to take at least a few, days a week to go and stop and sit in the sun, you know, go out on my balcony, you know, get in like, you know, some shorts, wearing as little clothing as possible. Yes. So I'm getting as much real estate on my sun, as much sun, you know, covering as much real estate as possible. And what's so funny is I've had for the last few years, I haven't had any, as I mentioned, not a lot of major health problems, but I've had some little things. And one is which I've talked about on this show is like sort of eczema or red patchiness happening across my nose, you know, on the sides of my nose and a little bit on my forehead. And that's happened in the last few years. And what I've noticed from regular sun is gotten infinitely better. Like even for a few weeks, like it, like 3 weeks, it was like completely gone. And I was like, oh my gosh, is it gone forever? Like this was it, you know, taking that time for self-care is, you know, I feel like that sort of it's inflammation, right? I feel like it's tied to this generating, you know, I felt like my whole life like sort of a current of electricity is almost flowing through me. So being, it you is. Know, aware of how to calm the fire, right?
When I think learning for you as you are, learning when it's helpful and in your best interest to keep creating, to push the pause button, finding that work-life balance, and keep affirming your wellness. That's been serving you, affirming your wellness constantly as you are, and to get out in that sun just like you are, like learning to manage. And even one of the things, it's one of my takeaway steps for Chiron and Aries that I learned to do myself, is when somebody asks, you know, to for you to do something. And usually we want to say yes, if it's an exciting possibility. I'm encouraging Chiron and Aries people to say maybe, even if you know you want to do it, just to give yourself a buffer of time to get with your schedule, really confirm with your inner knowing.
You can do it.
You know, is this with, yes, can I do this? And then get back to the person, just to give yourself that buffer of time to really get with yourself. And I find it to be helpful in my life. You might already be doing that also.
Yeah, that's been a lesson for me for sure. You know, I can get so excited about, I want to do this, I want to do that. And next thing you know, I've got like four full-time jobs. And it's like, oh my gosh, you're like, I can do anything, but I can't do everything. And I definitely can relate to that.
And I think you can with challenge. The right time management and taking care of yourself. You know, you can certainly do all that you want with some good planning.
Well, you know, and I think it's important for people to realize that not every idea or thing that crosses their path is for you. We're all part of a collective consciousness. So you're going to, as you open up more and more, you're going to tap into these, you know, it's like the 100th monkey principle, and you're going to start tapping into what others are. And if it's really for you, it's going to continue to activate you after that initial excitement.
Yes.
So taking time, like you said, is very wise, because you can have that moment of, me and my friend were talking and we got so excited about this. Okay, are you still excited tomorrow? How about in a week? How about in a month? You know, and so when you really start to be a little more, you know, have a little more finesse and pay closer attention to the currents, then you'll really, it's like you said with your book, you kept getting more excited about it. And ultimately it was the excitement persisted enough that led to you manifesting it in the world. And I'm sure you've had other ideas and thoughts about books probably in the past that did not actually come through, right?
Didn't stick.
And so, didn't stick. So I think that's really, really important. And one thing I meant to throw out a moment ago, for me, you know, and I'm sure there's others out there that are similar in that they're, you know, sort of going hard and fast and doing a lot in the world. And I found just getting sun at least 20 minutes every few days has been a huge boost in many ways. It's the ultimate mood stabilizer. Of course, we talk about COVID. They say vitamin D is like the number one thing that almost anyone who's sick, diseased, they're deficient in vitamin D. It's like across the board. Most people are. And so getting that vitamin D, you know, from the sun. And I found there's an app called the 7-Minute Workout that's just like a free. I found it years ago. It continued to really work well, because even if I don't make or have the time or haven't made the time for a more, you know, robust sort of exercise regime in a given day or week or whatever, it's like, I can do 7 minutes and I don't need anything except for my natural body weight in a chair, you know?
Totally.
And so I highly recommend people checking out. You can download that app for free. Just wanted to throw that out there. Before we continue on with today's episode, I'd like to take a quick moment to tell you about our sponsor, KiwiCo. All of our families have adapted to a whole lot of change this year, and while this Halloween may look a little different, the treats don't have to stop at candy. With a KiwiCo hands-on science and art project, your little monsters won't go batty with boredom. Instead, they'll be inspired by KiwiCo's seriously fun and innovative, creative, problem-solving crates designed for all ages, delivered right to your door every month. As a huge music fan since about 12 years old, I personally would have loved building the real working light-up speaker and headphones when I was just starting to jam out. The reality is it's hard to find new creative ways to keep the kids busy while stretching their brain, especially now. Luckily, KiwiCo does the legwork for you so you can spend more quality time tackling projects together. Of course, there's no commitment. You can pause or cancel anytime you like. KiwiCo truly is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills for every type of kid and kid at heart. And best of all, you can get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line at kiwico.com/positiveHead. That's kiwico.com/positiveHead.
And Brandon, the last thing with your Chiron placement and something that's really exciting for me in the way you're naturally healing and embracing this part of yourself is that, you know, having an outlet to fulfill your desire to be of service is important. Mm-hmm. And you're doing that when you shared about your new book coming out and the way you're launching it, being of service with the proceeds and profits. So just to confirm that that's really in alignment with the healing and maintaining of your just best life, that you knew to do that naturally.
And exactly. It feels, you know, well, you know, the book and these guys have heard me talk about it is called The Golden Key. And it's, you know, haven't 100% locked down a date. I originally thought November and now it looks like it's going to be 1st of January. It turns out creative things are going to be birthed in when at their own in their own time, regardless of my desire to push it forward. And what you're touching on, I haven't really shared with the audience yet, but, you know, more information forthcoming. But I'm basically going to share all proceeds that are generated. There's some really unique things about the way I'm marketing the book. And then I'm going to share, you know, half of that with all of the people who read it. So, and it's all about abundance and creating more. And I think that's part of the way is service. And, you know, how do you, you know, rising tide raises all ships. And how do I, you know, how do we create a playful experience and serve? And also, I think a big part for not only me, but all of us is when you're serving to make sure it's, you know, not to your detriment. Like you said, when, you know, put on your oxygen mask first. And I think that's a really, that's a tough lesson for, you know, or a lesson that takes some figuring out for a lot of people, I think.
I think so too. And yeah, so the way you're doing this book, and you're going to be a guest on my podcast, All Things Therapy, on January 28th. And we're going to talk about it, which I'm super excited about already. So you're just really in alignment with healing. Playing your Chiron and Aries in the sixth house. So keep it going.
Isn't it beautiful that by, you know, healing our own wounds, we can help heal others in the process. And it's just like, it's such a,
that's what's so exciting for me as well.
It's so amazing the way this whole thing has been orchestrated and designed. It's like, you know, the brilliance of it all is just breathtaking.
It is. It's genius.
I look forward to peeling it back and, you know, seeing and understanding more of, you know, I always say when I heard it said a long, long time ago and it stuck with me that, you know, when we can see how, you know, to a lot of people from their perspectives, reality is chaos, right? And actually what I believe wholeheartedly is when we can peel the curtain back and we'll see the most intricate, brilliant web you can imagine where everyone is always getting exactly what they need to become the next greatest and grandest version of themselves. And of course, once you start living from that perspective, it's everything.
It is. And that's within us. That's what my book is helping people. It's all about self-discovery. And my intention is for people to fall deeply in love with themselves. And from that place, they're able to really love others and be more open-hearted. And that changes the consciousness, that changes the vibration of your life as the individual, your family, your friends, your loved ones, and then the planet over time.
Yeah.
So that is my intention with this book.
What is, and by the way, your book is, as of this recording, you can, it can be pre-ordered, but it comes out in a few weeks, right?
Actually, if you go to nolatherapy.com and go to the book page, if people order from my publisher from that link, it'll be shipped to them now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and the other link. Yeah, it ships November 17th. So it's coming to you regardless. It's on Kindle right now, available for download. But yeah, they can order it at those places. And I was really excited, Brandon, that His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama, endorsed my book.
Oh, wow.
And that
how did that come about?
Co-creation. Yeah, I thought your show is a great place since you're about spirituality and vibration, that when I set that intention for His Holiness to receive my work, I knew immediately that I had to do some cleaning up of myself in my own habits, my thought habits, my belief habits, and my behaviors. And so I sought in meditation to reach the frequency of compassion that His Holiness to me embodies. And for me, it took a couple of years to receive the messages of how to change specifically. Like, I'm a really loving and kind, generous person, but I lose my patience with telemarketers, with certain people in the store. I can be sharp. And I was like, you know what? His Holiness, like, you got to clean that shit up, Lisa, within yourself. And so as I changed my own habits, I'm dead serious, Brandon, like,
oh, I'm with you. I definitely sharp as a good.
I started to feel His Holiness in meditation. Like he.
Oh, sorry, guide.
Yeah, sharp. Like not a bitch, you know, but just being sharp. And like I didn't like that in myself. I never felt proud or good about it. But nothing really got me to change those things until I realized to receive His Holiness's consideration, I really needed to clean up those areas. And after 2 years, I heard a meditation. Yeah, I heard him say to me, I physically felt him and saw him in the quantum field say, send me your book. I want to read it. And so I emailed it to him. And in less than a month, he sent me the most beautiful letter saying, you know, he's not a student of astrology. He's a Buddhist scientist. And my use of empathy and self-forgiveness and compassion are definitely the keys to healing humanity, as well as through meditation. And he said, the Chiron effect will be of great interest to many and will greatly benefit readers, His Holiness, the 14th Dalai Lama. And that was an affirmation, Brandon, of how it works. You know, when we really seek to change our thoughts and beliefs and habits, it changes our lives for the better.
Wow. Beautiful. What an inspiring story. That's so cool. Congratulations on doing the work as someone who certainly has been considered sharp at times. I definitely relate to that. That's been something that I've worked really, really hard on as well, is that, you know, that sword can go both ways. And especially when I was younger, it's like, oh my gosh, like, you know, there's probably some people that are still, you know, licking their wounds from from my sharp tongue, you know? And so and you realize that is not the path. And it doesn't, the thing about it is it doesn't feel, what you notice is after having sort of one of those experiences or events where you're in that state, how you feel not good after. When you're on the path to being your best and brightest self, it's like, why did I just react to this telemarketer or this person on the, you know, on the road that's cut me off or whatever? And so it's, you know, when you start realizing that everyone is your teacher and you're the student, I think that perspective really helps with, this challenging person or experience is coming to me right now so that I can work on my, my reactivity or non-reactivity.
Responsiveness.
And
being,
responsiveness and proactively being loving and positive to transmute it as opposed to, you know, ripping them apart verbally.
And also, and for you, Brandon, those are the places for you to deeply forgive yourself. You were doing the best you can in those moments being younger.
Yeah.
So I think that's where you can take some time to really love that person you were. You're not a bad person. All growing. So that's where you can really just deeply forgive and release yourself from that judgment of yourself.
Wonderful. Well, wonderfully said. I fully agree. It was a necessary, you know, part of the journey. And I think
learning and growth for you.
Yep. Until everyone can realize that you just said it well. Everyone is doing the best they can. Everyone is acting rationally based off their view of the world in the moment that they're doing whatever it is that they're doing.
Yes.
And that goes for everyone. And so when you can understand that, you know, then you can start to integrate this core, this core concept of forgiveness as, a way to transmute any wounding we have around someone else's actions or behavior.
And even every day, Brandon, I try to, in my meditation, just do a bit of forgiveness daily, because we accumulate these layers of unforgiveness towards ourselves that we become unconscious of. So just to daily really give yourself that love and affirmation. If you need to forgive yourself for something you did or didn't do in a day, just take those moments at the beginning or end of your day to say that to yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think one of the things, would you agree that with core wounding, a lot of times we will think we've, obviously a lot of people listening to this podcast are doing the work, right? You're not tuning into this you aren't on a path of wanting to be your greatest and grandest self. And so, and a lot of, come through a lot and are, light years to where they were even a year ago. What are your thoughts on core wounding? And once you've sort of done some work and you can see the progress to it, sort of spiraling back, if you will.
So I see this work as being like, you're going to realize you start to feel really great. You've achieved a level of mastery in your life. And the kind of the intention and desire is to keep living from that place of positivity, of your own knowing of yourself, forgiving yourself quicker, forgiving others quicker is also a byproduct of this healing work, and just staying in that rhythm. And when a trigger pops up, because inevitably it will, it's about greeting it and meeting that trigger with some more softness and kindness. Whether it's within you being triggered or your loved one, your partner, your friend, to really be able to respond instead of react. And that's going to be the lifelong journey, in my experience, is constantly seeing that evolution and peeling the onion layers and just responding to life differently than what you did. What do you think?
I love that. I love that way of framing it, respond instead of react. What a difference that will make. And anyone out there listening who has that sort of reactive pattern in their life, if you start considering the idea that your triggers are your treasures. And so this person or, this old, your old, here it is again, me and the kids or me and my husband or wife or parent or, childhood friend, whatever, this same story that's, I'm triggered again. Oh, I'm triggered. And instead of saying, okay, next time, why is this is actually happening for me, not to me. And I'm going to choose to respond instead of react. I'm going to bring that softness that I remember Lisa talking about, and then do that and then see how it feels on the other side. And the immediate impact that it has on the dynamic between you and the other person who's just playing a role for you.
Right on.
Yeah. Definitely. This is where our core work all lies. And it's so exciting to have some perspective on it that really, as I always say, listen to any of this stuff with an open mind and try it for yourself and see how it works. And then you decide whether it's real or not.
Absolutely.
And, buckle up your seatbelt, because you're going to see this all is legitimate. It is all really, really works. And you're going to be on the fast track to healing and expansion as a result.
Yes.
So I would love, as we sort of start to wind down here a little bit, Lisa, if you could share, one of the things I love to get from people is a story of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive paranormal story. I love story time, and so do the listeners. You got anything fun to share with us?
I do. That's such a beautiful question. And the one memory that comes up consistently for me, because I wonder if listeners or you have had this experience, when that moment of synchronicity happens, it's like feel so natural. It's like, oh my gosh, this is the next natural step. But when you think about it, it's like, that was some big shit. Like, how did that happen? And so my story is when I first went out to live in Los Angeles from New Orleans 6 years ago, I lived part-time between both cities, and I really fell in love with the work of Marianne Williamson. She's an amazing author, spiritual teacher, was running for president recently, in fact. And I went to her lectures on A Course in Miracles in person in Los Angeles. I'd go on Mondays. And the first time that I went, I just, it was like this natural, I had self-published a very small booklet on healing anxiety and depression a few years ago. And I grabbed a little booklet and I stapled my card to it and I put it in my purse. And my thought, just as I ran out the door, was like, I'm going to give this to Marianne tonight without a plan. Okay, how are you going to meet Marianne? How are you going to give her this? And I just, I didn't even think. I just went to the Saban Theater, sat, you know, pretty close to the front. My first time there, I'm super excited. And all of a sudden, it was like this voice saying, go to the restroom. And I almost was like audibly arguing with it. I'm like, I don't have to go to the bathroom. And it's like this, when I tell you, it's like the universe, just like, get the fuck up and go to the bathroom. And it was almost like, oh my God, like jump, like jolting me out of my seat. And Brandon, I knew enough about life. Just listen to that voice, even if it makes no sense. And I go upstairs to the restroom. No one's in the restroom. I'm like, okay, universe, I'm just going to go in the bathroom stall, whatever. I walk out. Marianne is there by herself washing her hands.
Wow.
No one else in the bathroom. And I was like, holy fucking shit. And I go up next to her. She's like, hello. And I was like, Marianne? And she's like, yes. I said, I'm Lisa Tai here, a therapist from New Orleans. She gets so nice to meet you. And I said, I published a guide on healing anxiety and depression. And she's like, where can I get your guide? I said, I have one for you. And we just kind of stared at each other and I gave it to her. She's like, thank you. And I said, I'm so excited to hear you speak tonight. And that was like such a manifestation. And it turned out down the road, she was a guest on my podcast, releasing her 7th New York Times bestseller, Tears to Triumph. And just has been a mentor. So that's my moment of serendipity.
Wow, those are such good stories. That and the Dalai Lama. It's like, it goes to show, you know, you can just tap into this field of all these characters. A lot of times we put people on these pedestals or they're out of reach or, you know, whatever. And really, you know, as I always say, you're in your own private universe. And, you know, all of these characters are actors and actresses in your own drama. And they're an extension of you that, you know, are as accessible as anyone else if you get yourself in the right energetic framework so that you can be a vibrational match as you did with the Dalai Lama, right?
Yes, exactly. Thank you for asking that question.
Yeah, I love that story. That's a really, really good one. And also a good one to share with people to, like, you know, listen to that inner voice. And the more you, of course, work that intuitive muscle, the stronger it gets, right?
Yeah, and follow your dreams. For listeners, even if it seems ridiculous, do it anyway. There's no harm in that, to just really take those steps forward into where you want to go and who you see yourself becoming.
Yeah, that's a good point, because I think a lot of times when people start on this path of, you know, working out their intuitive muscle and, you know, sixth sense or psychic sense, you know, it's like you can start self-judging, like, oh gosh, I'm losing my mind. Oh, you know, that's a big part of the journey, I think, especially when people are opening up spiritually and doing a lot of healing and these other things start coming online that were maybe shut down before. And just, you know, bring that childlike wonder and play. And, you know, without taking it too serious or being attached, that is the recipe. Don't, you know, you want to be enlightened, lighten up, you know, and don't take things really, really seriously and be playful about it. And if you end up in the bathroom stall alone and no one walks in that you're expecting, that's okay. You can talk to yourself.
It's okay. I tried that a few more times and she wasn't there. So it's okay. It was like meant to be for that moment.
Yeah, that's a great point. I've had some really cool stories like that too, where something super magical happened and then I've tried to repeat it and it just, no, you got what you needed. You got the message, you know, and
yes.
Yeah, I'll tell you real quick because it's a fun one. When I first started having, and it's really along the lines of this conversation, so I'm glad you added that piece because I wouldn't have thought of it otherwise that you tried again. So when I first started having my own spiritual awakening, and I was just like in awe of, you know, my expanded perspective on the ultimate nature of reality and the things that I was seeing and showing up and reflecting back to affirm it in my life. And I was reading a book, and this guy was talking about how he had an experience connecting with animals. So, you know, he's in this expanded altered state, you know, through meditation or whatever it was. I can't remember. And all these animals sort of reacted to his consciousness, and he was connecting with them, and they were coming to him. And I think he was in the woods. And I thought, wow, how cool. You know, and I was in a very excited state, having just read about the possibility and, you know, of this even being a thing, right? What I just read about. And then I was in my room at the time, and I lived in a house and this is in Nashville, Tennessee, in college. And I lived in a 6-bedroom house with 6 other people, and I had the master. It was, you know, wow. So it was a really big room. It was a big house, right? And so I looked in the far corner in this very big room. There was like a moth flying in the corner, and I just held out my hands and thought to myself, you know, come to me, land in my hands, right? And it literally flew from across the room, you know, 25 feet or whatever, great distance, all the way from the corner immediately, and landed in the palms of my hands that were outstretched in front of me.
Wow.
And I'm just like, oh, it's real, you know? And I've tried it probably 25 times since, and never has it worked again. And it's like, I can look back on it and say, oh, okay, I got the message that I needed at that time. It was an affirmation. It was a moment, right? And not to say I couldn't try it on the 26th and it work was. Again, right? Not being attached to those results and outcomes, and like so many people do, certainly in the skeptical world, you know, around this sort of stuff, it's like, oh, psychic ability. Okay, what number? What am I thinking right now? Oh, you didn't get it? Then it's all fake. You know, it's like this black and white approach to looking at this stuff is so silly, because it's you know, it's so subtle and nuanced, and so
it is so subtle. That's cool. Try something else. I would suggest you try something else from the
From the moth. I think I'm inspired to do so.
I'm inspired to ask a butterfly to come land on my hands.
Exactly. There's a great book by Wayne Dyer called The Power of Intention, where he was writing all about the butterfly. And in the book, and then he got up to go for a walk, and a butterfly came and landed on him and would not leave. And he went back and had pictures taken, and that ended up being the cover of the book, him with the butterfly that stayed with him for like 30 minutes when he on from his walk back to his book. Yeah. So, yeah. So anyway, you were just saying about
your listeners. I would love to offer your listeners, if they wanted to work with me, to go to nolatherapy.com, and any of my services, they can take 30% off by just mentioning the Positive Head podcast. I'd love to offer that to your listeners. And I'm going to share with my listeners tomorrow your podcast during my show.
Excellent.
So more people can hear what you're offering, because I really love it.
That's so gracious of you on both fronts. I super appreciate it. And I know there will be listeners out there who have resonated with this, and we'll reach out to you and connect with you. So yes, thank you. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah. So I do have one final question for you here. And it is this. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Lisa Tahir?
The meaning of life for me is about finding our happiness, finding our deepest joy, and really as much as we can allow ourselves to live in that joy and that space every day, regardless of what's going on around us or even in our lives. To just really stay focused. What is my joy today? What is my delight? And I believe that that's going to allow us to do our greatest work, express our greatest gifts, and be the best version of ourselves.
Yeah, I would add to that, you know, I love that. I think joy is, you know, the frequency, right? And we're going to all have moments of, you know, oh, this is a moment where I'm supposed to do some work on some core wounding that's going to come up and I'm going to probably cry and, you know, whatever else. And it's like, you know, even going, you know, happiness being sort of the goal and understanding that we can also still be at peace with the process that doesn't necessarily have a happy moment in store, but something that's meant to be challenging as well, right?
Yeah, and even crying those tears is the path to your joy. Doing this work is the path to get there, that to allow yourself that space and time to grieve, to let everything come up and be with it, just be with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, we can always, you know, consistently be at peace with what is arising. And that's really, like, you know, sort of that, you know, here's my goal, here's my aim. And I know that, you know, the path to it is going to be processing a lot of this stuff and working through these wounds. And I can be at peace with that process and even embrace that process and know and remember, even if it's not necessarily a scenario that we love or want to stay in, know, you know, this too shall pass. And the only thing in life guaranteed is change. So that's a good thing. If there's something that is challenging or difficult, it's going to pass. So that always helps.
And comforting yourself through it, Brandon, you know, is important as well for us to comfort ourselves through those really tough places and spaces where it's hard to find one's peace or joy, just to, you know, really tightly hold yourself with love and compassion through those experiences.
Absolutely. Yeah. Always back to that self-love, self-nurturing. Everything springs forth from that. So I love that you always bring attention back to that, because it's so, so crucial. And
thank you,
you know, in this process of our lives. So all of you out there listening, thank you, Lisa. This has been so fun, such a joy. And all of you out there listening, I so love you and value you and appreciate you. Keep on keeping on. You are doing it. You're doing the work not only for yourself, but for your ancestors and your family and the rest of the world. And I just want to honor each and every one of you. And you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you, Brandon.
Thank you, Lisa, once again. Until next time, everyone, journey well. Love you so, so much. Also, before we sign off, I wanted to remind you about the Game with the Universe on our website. You can choose the first number that comes to your mind, and it'll pull up that episode number of the podcast. I've been saying this is a great way to co-create synchronicity and magic with your higher self for quite some time. And if you go to positivehead.com/universe, there is a super fun and simple interface to play this game with your higher self. I firmly believe just by setting the intention to play in this way, it opens up the door for magic, and it's a synchronistic way to hone in on nuggets of wisdom out of the huge catalog of episodes that are specifically appropriate for you at this time in your journey to becoming the next greatest and greatest version of yourself. And it also makes for a super fun way to spark the curiosity of friends and family by having them choose a number. So they'll hopefully go and check out their number as well, which I greatly appreciate because it helps us to spread the word about the podcast. Once again, the address is positivehead.com/universe. And as a quick reminder, if you're curious to learn more about Purium Superfoods and why I take them almost every day, be sure to also check out positivehead.com/transformation. On this journey of becoming the next greatest and grandest version of ourselves that we have all embarked upon, I cannot stress the importance of managing your physical vibration enough. And quite honestly, Purium has put together the simplest plan I've found to do so. I have my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, at least 5 times a week. Once again, to learn more about the Purium Transformation, go to positivehead.com/transformation. Or if you want to keep it simple and just try out my favorite, the Appleberry Shake, you can go straight over to ishoppurium.com and be sure to use code POSITIVEHEAD for 25% off. I'll spell that for you. It's ishoppurium.com. And be sure to use your Positive Head 25% coupon code.